Chapter 26. Location: Ricky's House. Nimbus kept up his attacks for the next 2 days. He couldn't believe how he was enjoying it. Ricky was beginning to think he was losing his mind since Nimbus was so good at keeping out of sight. However, enough was enough. On the third morning, Nimbus decided to confront Ricky. He drifted in through his bedroom window at sunrise. Ricky was snoring when Nimbus fired a warning shot. "What?" Ricky screamed and threw himself out of bed and into his closet. "Come out of there," Nimbus said with his new direct voice. "We need to talk."
"Who's there?"
"Cumulonimbus the Third. Remember me?" The closet door creaked open as Ricky hunted around the ceiling for the signs of a cloud. Nimbus dropped down in front of Ricky's face, sending him rolling back into his closet, pulling down some of his $1,000 suits.
"I give up! What do you want?"
"I want you to go claim Floyd's body and give him a decent funeral," Nimbus said.
"Okay, okay, and then will you leave me alone?" Ricky asked.
"No."
"No? Well, what do you want? Money? Does a cloud need money? What's your favorite charity?"
Nimbus backed up so that Ricky could come out of the closet. He couldn't believe for such a shrewd businessman he was so dense. "Look, Ricky, money can't buy what you really need. All I want you to do is to understand about Floyd. But it seems that you have turned out just like the father you hated. But you know what? He changed, and so can you."
"What are you saying?"
"I am saying what you have to do to change your ways."
"What?"
"I want you to tell your son, Floyd's grandson, that he was a good man in the end, and you are sorry that you kept him away. I also want you to look in the mirror and see what a jerk you are and change your ways. I'll be watching you, and I promise I'll be back."
"Is that it?"
Ricky asked, feeling like he was off the hook.
"No! No! What then?"
"I want you to give Mr. Brewster another loan, a fair loan, and anyone else you were trying to shut down without cause. And I want you to apologize to them."
"You have got to be kidding. The restructuring is already in the making."
"Well, restructure the structure again," Nimbus said, starting to glow.
"Okay, okay.
And if you don't, the next lightning bolt that leaves me may be your last." Nimbus couldn't believe how powerful he was feeling and the look on Ricky's face. He was mighty and in charge. He was Nitro Nimbus.
"Okay, I'll do everything you say, but please don't kill me," Ricky cried.
"Kill you?" Suddenly, Nimbus realized what was happening. He was enjoying watching Ricky shrivel with fear. He was becoming a bully like Anvil and all those at Blowhard's. Floyd wouldn't have wanted this to happen. He had just switched places with Ricky, and now he was the mean one. But the worst part, he was breaking all the rules, not only with the Cloud Council, but Archangel Michael. Oh, what was Michael going to say? "I won't kill you, Ricky. You just have to do what I say," Nimbus said softly and dissipated back to his cute self.
I will. I'll do what you say. I don't want you hanging over my head any longer."
Nimbus floated around all afternoon feeling guilty about what he had done to Ricky. He needed to find him and apologize. He wanted to make Ricky realize that he was really a nice cloud and didn't mean to get all powerful and threatening. How did that happen? "I can't believe he thought it was going to kill him," Nimbus said, remembering Ricky's terrified look. "Was I that scary? I was being just like him." He spotted the black limousine parked outside the bank. Ricky and Mr. Brewster were walking out of the office building together. They shook hands and Ricky headed to the limo. He looked up in the sky and saw Nimbus.
"As you can see, I talked to Frank Brewster and all the other people who haven't found financing yet. I've assured them that their loans are still secure," and Ricky stopped short at seeing his chauffeur advance.
Nimbus floated higher as the large, muscular man in an extra tight-fitting uniform opened the door and Ricky got in. Nimbus followed them back to the mansion. He had forgotten about apologizing and just wanted to make sure that Ricky had found Floyd's body. Ricky fixed a gin and tonic and sat down on the couch in his great room. Nimbus drifted in through the same sliding glass door where the water had seeped in during his outburst. "Let me fill you in on the rest of the news so you can get the hell out of my life and leave me in peace," Ricky said. He downed his drink. "Floyd's body is all I want to know about," Nimbus stated. The strong and empowered Nimbus rushed in like a tsunami. Nitro Nimbus flashed. "Don't start with the fireworks. They are shipping the body tomorrow," Ricky said, and went to the bar to fix another drink. "And the funeral?" "A funeral? It's a service, Nimbus. Just a memorial service. I'll have him cremated, and I'll get some holy man to say some prayers. Anything else?" He returned to the couch and almost fell into it.
"You were going to tell your son about his grandfather."
"I don't see him until this summer. Are you going to be here that long?"
"If you promise you will tell him, I guess I can trust you on that one."
"What exactly do you want me to tell him about his grandfather? Obviously, you have a different story than I do, since I haven't seen him in 30 years.
"The Floyd I knew was brave and strong, interesting and wise."
"Look, Cloud." "Nimbus, my name is Nimbus." "Look, Nimbus, you had one experience with the guy. You were obviously touched by an angel to see him in a different light. So you've done what you're supposed to do, and now it's time to move on."
"Don't you feel different?" Nimbus asked, surprised.
"About what?"
"Helping Mr. Brewster and all those people."
"Frank Brewster was late on his payments more than a few times, despite what he said. Buying a new couch for his wife and taking a trip to Hawaii was more important than keeping up with his payments. I could have called his loan years ago, but I was giving him a chance to refinance elsewhere."
He took a sip.
"Oh, gee, Nimbus, there are two sides to every story."
"Well, what about booting old Mr. Dexter in the behind?"
"Yeah, that was funny," Ricky chortled as he emptied his glass. "I'm just that kind of guy. I guess I was grossed out by his butt crack. Dumbass."
He set his glass down hard on the wooden coffee table and ice cubes bounced out onto the carpet.
"What about you destroying my important papers for a very important meeting that had a lot to do with the worried investors? You caused poor Mrs. Leggett to redo everything. Who is the guilty one there? And you traumatized me with all your storm hocus pocus. I probably won't sleep the rest of my life."
Nimbus didn't know what to say. Ricky did have a point. But what was the point at this point? He could see that anything he said wouldn't make any difference. Ricky was Ricky, and he was right. There are two sides to every story. Actually, three. Ricky's truth, Nimbus's truth, and the real truth.
"Well, Ricky, I'm going to leave. I hope you will try and understand that your father always cared about you, and he did want to make things right."
Ricky glared at Nimbus, then looked away. Nimbus floated out the sliding glass door, then stopped and hovered for a moment to see if Ricky would look back and say goodbye. He didn't.